Hey friends, welcome to the Weed Seeds and Beautiful Things podcast, a podcast that's not about growing marijuana or gardening, but is about living in radical faith and full submission to God. I'm sure glad you're here. The Weed Seeds and Beautiful Things podcast is hosted by me, Connie Lawson, and airs Mondays and Fridays on your favorite podcasting platform. Be sure to check me out on social media, both Instagram and Facebook at Weed Seeds and Beautiful Things. You can also go to our website at blog.weedseedsandbeautifulthings.com to leave your prayer requests or a comment and to read our blog whenever I write one, which is not very frequently because speaking is my jam, not writing. Anyway, I'm so glad you're here. Let's get this show started. Hey friends, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Connie, and I am so glad you're here. I hope you are having a wonderful week. I hope you had a good Easter. I hope that, you know, things are maybe getting back to a little bit of normal for you in your life with people starting to get vaccinated and things starting to open up. Or maybe now all of that feels totally out of the ordinary and you're struggling as you kind of get back into society. I know that there's been a mixture of excitement for me over things opening up and just a sense of anxiety as well. So whatever you're feeling and whatever you're going through, I am really glad you're here. Today's show, I want to go ahead on the front side and let you know that I'm going to be talking about a sensitive topic today. So if there are little ones, which there probably aren't, but just for the sake of caution, if you have little ones that, or just immature younger people that you would think wouldn't be good to hear about a sensitive topic, you might want to either turn this off and listen later or go somewhere where you can listen privately. Also, if you are someone that is very easily triggered by discussing suicide, then I would ask you just to pass on this episode because today I'm just going to be talking about that. I recently have had a dear friend of mine go through the loss of a family member through suicide. And unfortunately, this is not the first time this has happened for this dear friend. And, you know, I myself have struggled with it in the past. And so I just thought it was probably time to talk about it. It's been on my radar to address this for a while, but honestly, I've been avoiding it, not because I don't want to talk about it or I don't feel comfortable talking about it, but because it's such a heavy, heavy topic. And so many people are affected by it. And so many people have set very strong viewpoints on it. So I, of course, have prayed beforehand. I hope that, and I am, as I'm talking, being very much aware of the Holy Spirit and wanting Him to guide the words that I say and wanting Him to give me a great deal of compassion and insight. I am not a doctor. I am a average Joe that has experienced a lot of life in a relatively short amount of time, one of which the things that I've experienced have been suicide attempts and the feeling of not wanting to be alive. So I come addressing the issue. Now, it is not something I currently struggle with or have for quite a while, but it is something that I have a history with. So I hope to draw on my own past experience, my own past struggles and knowledge of the place of desperation that you get to when you feel like there is really nothing else to do. But I also want to offer practical things to do and practical ways to find your grounding when you're feeling that way, because there are things that we can do to hold on and there is a reason to hope. So with that being said, today I'm going to start by reading several scriptures to you. There's about maybe five or six of them that I'm going to read These aren't specifically geared towards suicide, but they are geared around what the Lord thinks of death, what the Lord thinks of murder, how the Lord views his creation, in which I'm meaning people, and how the Lord values life, and what the Lord says about times when they're very dark and we're suffering. And then after I read these scriptures, I'm going to go to these notes that I've made. They're personal notes. They're questions that I have heard being asked by other believers, or I myself have personally had, and through a number of years of just following the Lord and receiving my own healing, I'm going to give you the answers that I feel in my life they are true for me. And so that's just kind of be the outline of the show today. So the first verse I want to read is Psalms 116, verse 15. And it says, "Precious and important and no light matter in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Then Exodus 20, verse 13 says, "You shall not commit murder." Luke 4:10, "For it is written, he will give his angels charge over you to guard and to watch over you closely and carefully." John 10:10, "The thief, Satan, comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that they might have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full extent until it overflows." Isaiah 40:31, "But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and shall renew their strength and their power. They shall lift their wings and they shall mount up close to me as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not grow faint." And the last one, second to the last one, John 6:37, "All whom my Father gives and trusts into my hand, and the one who comes to me, I will most certainly not cast out. I will never, no, never reject one of those who comes to me." And then Psalms 103:14. "For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust." And a couple other references I'm not going to read, but you can look up Lamentations 1:13, John 10:28 and 29, and 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. So these verses that I read, the first one that says, "Precious and important and no light matter in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." This is, of course, referring to a believer, a person that has received the free gift of salvation from Jesus Christ. Then that is what this verse is referring to. So when I talk about in this episode the fact that there is always hope, regardless of what we're feeling or going through or experiencing, that is with the foundational fact being that you are saved. If you are not saved, then the reality is you do live without hope. And so it is of the utmost importance that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you do whatever wrestling out you need to do and you prepare your heart to make that decision. Because that is the line that's drawn in the sand where without Jesus, it is hopeless. And without Jesus, none of the good or the hopeful or the coming through or the protection that I talk about in any of these episodes applies to you. This applies to believers only. It's not hard to be saved. but it is a requirement in order to have the peace and the protection and the eternal salvation that Jesus Christ offers us. And that is through believing in the Son, Jesus Christ, that he came, that he died for your sins, that you are a sinner in need of a savior, and asking him to come into your heart to regenerate you and to change you, and then walking and living your life, knowing him and getting to know him better. It's a one-time decision that is made out of just choosing to believe, but it's an everyday decision to decide to walk with him and to continue that relationship. And that's where believers get their hope from, is our relationship with Jesus. So the first question when I was thinking about this episode that comes to my mind is the shame that is attached to suicide, and people that lose family members or spouses or children or friends, colleagues, whatever, to suicide. The question, it's shameful. Isn't suicide shameful? Doesn't it ruin their legacy? Doesn't it negate everything that they've done? And my answer to that is no, not always. Suicide can be shameful. For instance, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the for instances, but just the ones that are important. For instance, if you were somebody that, well, let's just say you were a pedophile, and you, instead of accepting what you'd done and, you know, accepting your punishment through the court system, whatever, you just killed yourself. Well, yeah, that's shameful. But for somebody that has lived their life as a believer and they entered into a path or a patch of deep depression and the bottom fell out from under them, and for whatever the reason, they ultimately ended their life, I don't agree or believe that that somehow negates everything that they had done before. I don't think being a person that's hopeless and ultimately being successful in committing suicide means that you're shameful. I mean, really, if you think about it, the Bible is pretty plain on sin. It's pretty plain on what the Lord thinks of sin. It's pretty plain on the detriment of sin to our families, to our lives, to everything. And no sin is a good sin. No sin is a sin that's okay to commit. But all sin is forgivable. Jesus came and he died on the cross for all the sins. There is but one thing that is not forgiven, and that is the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. And that is the rejecting of the Word of God, the rejecting of that. That is unforgivable. But everything else, the Bible is very plain that there is nothing that cannot be forgiven. And so I am inclined to believe the words of Scripture and not add to it or take away from it. And so that includes when someone kills himself. If they are a believer, that means they're going to go to heaven. It means they've committed a grievous sin. They've essentially murdered their own body. They've decided that they couldn't go on and they ended things, but that is not the one thing that doesn't allow or takes away someone's salvation. And it doesn't negate the life that they've lived. It doesn't negate, let's say it was a missionary, it doesn't negate their service to the Lord. It is a moment in time that, yes, has tremendous consequences, but how is it any more shameful than the abusive parent that spends their child's life of 18 years abusing them and then comes to know Jesus when their grown child is in their 20s and 30s and seeks forgiveness from their child in their 40s. When that child has suffered from birth all the way to 40 by at the hands of their parent, yet the parent has sought forgiveness from Jesus and forgiveness from the child that they abuse. That's no different in the sense of the consequences are far-reaching. The sin is terrible. But with Jesus Christ, what he did on the cross covers the darkest, deepest, most shameful, and most terrible things. And just because we still have to deal with the consequences doesn't mean that forgiveness isn't offered. I firmly believe that Scripture is very plain that we do nothing to save ourselves and we cannot lose our salvation. There's a lot of controversy around that. But you cannot say in one breath that you believe that Jesus paid it all and that he is the one supreme authority and power that has the ability to save, yet there is something you can do to unsave yourself. It doesn't make sense. And that's a good thing, because we don't need to make sense of the grace of God. We don't need to understand in completeness his ability to forgive and the mercy that he has over wretched sinners like us. Because if we could explain him away, he wouldn't be God. It is the fact that his grace and his mercy far outdoes anything that we are even able to remotely comprehend. And so if you are someone that has a loved one that has died at their own hands, I am so sorry for your loss. And I am so sorry for their pain. But it doesn't negate the good in their life. It doesn't negate everything that they have done before this period where they lost hope. Okay, next question. I really already answered it, but I'll just briefly answer it again. Do you go to hell if you kill yourself? If you are a believer and you kill yourself, no, you do not go to hell. If you are an unbeliever and you kill yourself, yes, you go to hell. The line isn't that someone killed themselves. The line is, are you saved? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ or are you not? That is what stops there from being hope and ensures that there is always hope. The next question, why do people do this? Why do people feel hopeless? Non-Christians are the ones without hope, but why do Christians so often kill themselves? I think that we get so caught up in thinking that the Christian life somehow means exemption from mental torment, from spiritual torment, from the bottom falling out and everything being lost. And it doesn't. If anything, as I have hoped to portray very honestly as a firm believer in Jesus Christ and a lover of the word and, you know, a truth seeker, etc., I have always tried to portray that the Christian life is not easy. Following Jesus is not a religion. Following Jesus is not a lifestyle change or a self-help book. It is a relationship. And if any of you have maintained any form of human relationship for any amount of time, you know it is very hard to do. And living the life of being a follower of Jesus is no different. In fact, it can be much harder because there is that kind of target on our back for following Jesus. I mean, the word says that we will be hated, that we will suffer, that on top of already that humans are sinful and we struggle in this life, there's a level of suffering that we take on. We are supposed to partake in the sufferings as Jesus did, in Jesus's suffering. So it's a very plain that Christians are not exempt from mental illness, addiction, supernatural attacks from the enemy, terrible, terrible tragedy. And those things can work together to make even the strongest Christians want a way out. And from my own experience, you can reach a point of emotional pain where rational things don't really make much sense anymore. In no way am I advocating that suicide is the right thing, but I'm saying that believers are not exempt from feeling hopeless, feeling suicidal, having mental breakdowns, feeling the weight of something that comes on them that's too heavy for them to bear, and in that weakened state being a target by the enemy, I meaning Satan and his helpers, to further bring the idea that death would be the answer. So why do people do this? People come to the conclusion and attempt suicide when they feel hopeless or when they feel an immense amount of emotional pain that they need to stop. And then that is backed up by the sense that nothing they've done is working, nothing they've done before is working. And that pain then kind of cancels out the brain's ability to think rationally, to have the ability to kind of sit tight and wait it out. And so that's then in that weakened mental state, whatever the surrounding cause may be, whether it's tragedy or mental illness or physical sickness, etc., the weakened state of the mind by the pain that's being experienced is then utilized by the enemy, ultimately resulting in either attempting suicide, being successful at suicide, or having thoughts that plague you regarding dying. Why does God allow some people to live and others to die? I don't know that. I think it's a good question, but I think it's a question that will have to be asked when we are in eternity. That is not something that we get to know. It's one of those hard things that we have to accept. Just like when my son died, you know, you can really easily get hung up on, well, why did my son die, but so-and-so's son not? Why did you save that child and not my child? And I think that we are so easily deceived to put our focus on things that shouldn't get our attention. It's not like they're not important, but our focus should be on Jesus. Our focus should be on that no matter what, if you've been impacted by suicide or you are struggling with it, that our focus isn't to be on that problem. It's like a car accident. You know, you see a car accident, you're driving on the road, you're supposed to be focusing on where you're going. But we like to stop and stare at that gruesome thing over at the side, and we get sidetracked from what we're doing and where we're supposed to be going. And so focusing on things like that never get us anywhere. Thinking about, well, I didn't deserve that, or why did that happen to me, or I've suffered enough. None of those questions, even if they're true, which they're not, but even if they're true, they get us nowhere. They're not productive. And so we need to keep turning our eyes away from things like that, from focusing on other things, and turn our eyes and look at Jesus and focus on him, because that is where we find our peace. That is where we find our hope. That is where we find our security. And why did I say they don't really matter? Because one of the biggest things that I had to come to in my own faith walk, and I believe probably will be the same for you in some manner or another, is realizing that anything that you get is better than what you deserve. You have to eradicate the idea that God owes you something, and that somehow you don't deserve this or that or the other thing, or you do deserve this, that, or the other thing. Anything that we have is better than what we deserve. And our focus should not be on self-preservation. It should not be on self-exaltation. It should be on Jesus and his goodness. And when you look there, then those other things come into perspective. But when you look at those things, you are going to be deceived. To think that any one of us is good enough, has done enough, is righteous enough to say, Lord, I didn't deserve that to happen to me, that is foolish. But it is a hard place to get to where you understand your human depravity while not hating yourself, and choose to look at Jesus and see his goodness. Because that, friends, is the epitome, the definition, the manifestation of truth. Look at Jesus, and those other things go and they get into perspective, right perspective. How does God view someone who kills themselves? How does God view anyone that is suffering terribly emotionally? I think we get this idea in our mind that God is up there waiting to hand it to a person and stick it to them, you know, and punish them and the lightning bolts and the chains and the whips and the condemnation. And I disagree. Maybe this episode is really getting at you and scratching you in all the wrong ways. And if that's the case, it's truly not intended. I'm just speaking from my heart. Again, I just want to reiterate that. God knows that we're but dust. He knows our frame. And if someone is in mental torment, regardless of how they got there, the Lord is a God of, yes, justice and righteousness and judgment, but he is also a God of great, unspeakable, unfathomable mercy and compassion. And I think more than being angry, the Lord is grieved. But the Lord is our good, good Father. And I think that he grabs up the believer that commits suicide when they enter the pearly gates, and he wraps them in a hug. And then there is the answering for that. But I think God is more in that sense a God of compassion than a God of condemnation and judgment and anger, because he knows us. And he knows being tormented. He knows mental instability. And if there is something wrong with a person, Jesus is not going to treat them like they had full control over their faculties. And if they reach that point because of their sin, he is going to be grieved. More grieved at the loss that the world experienced, at the loss that this person experienced for what he wanted to do through them and in them. He is going to be grieved more than he's angry. And so we need to keep in mind that just as God is very, you know, doesn't like sin, he hates sin, he's also filled with compassion, and he knows mental torment. And he is grieved whenever there is a loss of life. Is suicide always wrong? Yes. Just as there is never a way to be unsaved, there is never a way to make right something that is wrong. Murder is wrong, whether it is in the form of you killing someone else or you killing yourself. The beautiful thing about truth is that it gives us very clear boundary lines. It takes away the guesswork. If truth is relative and truth is, you know, well, you speak your truth and I'll speak mine, that is the most hopeless place we can be. Because if there is no steady line in the sand that says, do not pass go, then anything anybody says is the new truth, and nothing is steady, nothing is firm, nothing is safe. But the fact that God loves us enough to draw that line in the sand on certain issues gives us safety. It gives us the ability to move peacefully through our life and not constantly have to give thought to everything, that every whim, every idea, every desire. Murder is wrong in any way, shape, or form. How should I cope with the loss of someone through suicide? The same way you would with any death. You grieve. You feel all of the things. You seek help. You feel the anger. You talk about it. You wrestle it out. You take that time to feel depressed and sad and hurt and grieved and sick and tired and done and despairing. You grieve because death is death. It doesn't matter how it happens. It affects us. It hurts. And even with the hope we have in Christ, it still sucks. There still is a hole ripped in us that can't be filled this side of heaven. So you grieve. Are people who kill themselves crazy, possessed? They can be. A Christian can never be possessed, but a Christian certainly can be influenced by satanic forces. And sometimes people that kill themselves have mental illnesses. And the definition, the word crazy, is kind of like, in my mind, a derogatory or a racial slur would be to someone else. But when you have a mental illness, you don't have everything that someone without a mental illness has at their disposal to regulate emotion, to make decisions, to feel and to regulate behaviors and thought patterns. And so, yes, life and suffering can be amplified, and they don't work right. And so, yes, that can be a reason. And then, as I said before, a weakened state of a Christian through loss, trauma, mental illness, because we Christians are not exempt from mental illness or addiction or whatever, can then be exaggerated by Satan. And so those things can work in tandem to then promote the idea, the desire to end your own life. If you're mentally ill and kill yourself, does God punish or curse you? I don't believe so. And you can take that or leave that. No hard feelings here. But again, is the Lord going to treat somebody with cerebral palsy the same way that he's going to treat or judge someone that didn't have cerebral palsy? You say, well, that's not the same thing. How is it different? It's an impairment. It's an impairment. And God knows us. He knows our frame. He knows our makeup. He knows our hearts. He knows our lives. And so if he looks at a person and he knows that they were made in a way where they didn't work right, why would he judge them as if they were someone that worked right? I feel so passionately about that. Scripture shows us time and time again that God takes care of the underdog. God takes care of the person with issues. And the person with issues is a broken, messed up, visibly screwed up person. So only God knows the heart, but he also knows that the mind and the capabilities of the mind have a lot to do with what the heart is able to do. This is not an excuse for some of you to jump off the bandwagon, but this is a realistic thought process for those of you that don't have any tolerance for those people that can't get it together. Or for someone that's living in terror because their mind doesn't work right and they're constantly being plagued with thoughts about how all they're going to have is judgment and God hates them and blah, 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 blah. It's not true. God judges righteously. God takes all things into consideration because he made all things and he knows all things. Am I crazy if I want to die? No. Now, you may be mentally ill. I don't know. But wanting to die does not automatically mean you're crazy. It could mean you're being spiritually attacked. You're being oppressed. You have some terrible tragedy you're trying to navigate through. You haven't slept in a while. You're physically sick. You're having side effects from medication. It can mean any number of things. But what it does also very assuredly mean is when you're in a time of crisis and you need help, you need to take it seriously and you need to not give in to it. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're crazy. And again, I think this term crazy is just a very derogatory way to put someone, to label someone that struggles with their mind. And if you are someone that struggles with your mind, give yourself a little compassion. You aren't defective because you're different. You have beauty in your pain and in your story and in your suffering, and you need to see that, not give up. Will God love me if I kill myself or if I have suicidal thoughts? This is the last question. I know this has gone really long. Yes, God will love you. That is not an excuse or a reason to go kill yourself. And no, He doesn't not love you if you have suicidal thoughts. We've basically talked about all of this over and over throughout the episode. God is a loving God. God is a God that understands disabilities, defects, troubles, traumas, sorrows. So, no. But again, don't grieve the Holy Spirit by pretending that you're God and deciding if you get to live or die. You need to do as that scripture said. Wait on the Lord. Expect, look for, and hope in Him. And He will change and renew your strength and your power. Then you will lift up your wings like eagles and mount up close to God. And you shall run and not be weary and walk and not faint. This is not saying that you won't experience these things, but it is saying that you hold on and you look to and expect help from God. And do I believe God will always help us if we wait on Him? Yes. It is that simple of an answer, because His word is either true or He is a liar. And if He is a liar, then truth is relative. There's no hope and He's not God. And His word says that if we wait on Him, He is going to come and help and answer. And that He expects that when we are suffering, we are going to come to Him. He always comes through for us. I cannot tell you that He will come through by delivering you out of or immediately reconciling your situation, but God always helps us. He always provides a way out of temptation, a way out of trouble. He is our protector and our provider. And if we are going to lose our lives, let it be because He ordains it, not because we decide that life is too hard and God is not good enough to come through for us. Friends, if you are feeling suicidal, reach out. Find someone that you are safe to talk with and share your heart. Have someone pray for you. Seek help from your mental health professional. Seek help from someone in your church or your family. Don't be alone while you feel like this. There is no shame in suffering mentally. There is no shame in feeling suicidal. And if anyone treats you like there is shame, remember these words from the podcast. It doesn't matter, because I'm glad that you sought help. God is glad that you sought help. And shame on anyone that's a jerk about mental illness or suicide for lack of understanding. God help us to be people of tender hearts and compassion. If you don't struggle with it, thank God for it and be kind to people that do. It's a very lonely road to walk, and being nice isn't as hard as we make it out to be. There is hope in Jesus. Don't give up. There is a plan and a purpose for your life, no matter what you are going through. I know that I'm right. Hold on, friend. God has mighty things in store for you. He loves you. He will lift your head. This night will turn into day. Keep holding on. Thank you so much for listening. I'm going to wrap up now. I will see you next time. Please be sure to let me know what prayer requests you have, any questions or comment about this show or about your faith walk in general. And let me know if you need a speaker for your next women or youth engagement. I am accepting inquiries now on my calendar for 2021. I look forward to hearing from you. You can find me on the web at blog.weedseedsandbeautifulthings or on social media and Facebook and Instagram. Weed Seeds and Beautiful Things. I'll see you next time.
Are you stuck in your office spinning your wheels? Is it time for you to get away from your business so you can focus on the business? Maybe a retreat. I'm Katie Horner of the For Your Success podcast, and though my husband and I started out in full-time ministry, living well below the poverty line, our six-figure business now gives us ministry opportunities that far outweigh the ones we had in full-time ministry. Join me and my husband Tap on April 30th at the Get Out of the Boat Christian Business Virtual Retreat to recharge your batteries. And let us show you how fun it can be to walk out your faith in your business with joy and confidence. Because doing the business that God created you to do can be your best worship. The Get Out of the Boat Christian Business Retreat is April 30th from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. and you can attend from anywhere online. We can't wait to see you there. You can get all the info and register for your ticket right now at getoutoftheboat.com.